Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
If you are here, you have been born again for more than 2 years, put up your hand. You didn't hear me well. And if your own is just last month, no problem. You've been born again more than 2 years. I didn't say put down your hand, put up your hand. Put up your hand. You have been born again more than 2 years. Okay? Under a year, Abby. Yes, you. Huh? I didn't see your hand now. Huh? Is that difficult? It's a simple instruction. If you have been born again more than 2 years, put up your hand like this. Uh-huh, so that. Okay. Okay. Under a year or under 2 years? Yes. Huh? Sorry? A year plus. I'm happy for you. Rededication, a year plus. I'm happy for you. More than 2 years? Put down your hand. If you have been crawling, put up your hand. You know what used to pain me with people? God bless you. If you are putting up your hand, put up your hand. People will be waiting for those who they think are like them to see whether will I be the only one putting up my hand. It is not to a man that you are putting up your hand. It is to God. It's not to me. What's my own? If whenever I am asked of God to ask people to come out for altar calls, I do it. And the altar call may not necessarily mean I want to be born again. No. But if you have issues to sort out with God, you know, and when I'm not, as much as the last message was, did I say come out for altar call? No, because I didn't sense that it was time. You know you have been crawling. Put up your hand. Because if you are here and you are still lying to yourself, I didn't say do like this. I say put up. You know the more put up your hand. Put up your hand. You know, see me, I've been crawling. May God help us in Jesus' name to put down your hand. Now, that was the first test. Do you know the test? The test of being under control. You see, it's not easy. Say, you see, it's not easy. So even when you know I was crawling, was it easy to say, me, I'm crawling?
No. And that's why I'm saying that. Ishe to Nishe is to come under Baba's control. That's a major work. If you can do that, you will see the glory of God. I'm telling you the simple truth. Many of us are places we should have been in our lives. Eh? Is this same attitude that is delaying it? Honestly. There are points, positions in God that merely obeying God, even when the thing is shameful. But anyway, maybe because we have been used to so much church meetings and all of that. Please, when we speak here, except we tell you that it is us, so not the Lord. Have I ever asked you before, since you know me, Joshua, that if you are crawling, raise up your hand. Have you ever had me say that kind of thing before? And you've known me a very long time. I've not said that kind of thing before. But as I saw that crawling boy, the Lord said that is the state of most of you people. That's what he said. And you saw that when I said, if you have been born again 2 years, raise your hand. After that, you saw I kept quiet a bit. Did you notice? Because he said, ask them that those have been crawling, should raise their hand. Why? Because I want to lift them up. That's why. There are some of us, the way you are, before you came for this meeting, if you marry like that, that home will scatter in 3 weeks. How long? Because there are things inside that are not compatible with what it means to be married. For instance, I'm just speaking that as, do you understand? As an example. There are some of us, you should have been a leader. Are you getting it? But if God releases you, if he removes the leash, and he releases you, people will just be stumbling and falling into sin because of you. Why? Because there are things within that are not compatible with a holy life. That are not compatible with the kind of authority that God wants to place in your hand. So therefore, you understand now when we are rising up to sing this song. you are rising up from that state in the name of Jesus. Because you were not born to be like that. You were not even born again to be like that. Not born again to be weak, perpetually harassed by the devil. No. If the Son of God set you free, you are free indeed. As we arise to take the Son, more holiness, give me. Arise in liberty, arise in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Before we take the song, I want you to pray. You raise your hands to Him and tell Him, Lord, I will not crawl again. By the power of the Spirit, I will soar. I will not crawl again. Fall down today, rise up tomorrow. I don't want it anymore. Not anymore for me in Jesus' name. Not anymore for me. Not anymore. I will soar. I will soar in my spirit in the name of Jesus. I will not crawl again. Where the Lord is expecting me to walk, I will walk. Where He's expecting me to talk, I will talk. I will bring forth fruit that is consistent with my stage in God. I will bring forth fruit that is consistent with God's call for my life. I will not struggle again in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not struggle again in the name of Jesus. I will not struggle again. I will soar with the Lord. Carried by the power of His Spirit. Carried by the power of His Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I will not struggle again. Thank you, Father. As you are praying, listen to this hymn song and pray it as you are hearing it in the name of Jesus. More holiness, give me more strivings within, more patience in suffering, more sorrow for sin. More joy in His service, more purpose in prayer, more gratitude give me, more trust in the glory, more hope in His word, more tears for His sorrows, more pain at His grief, more meekness in trial, praise for relief, more purity give me, more strength to overcome, more freedom from its stains, more longing for. More feet for Thy kingdom, more useful I'll be, more blessed and holy, more Savior-like Thee. You can sing now, more holiness give me. More strivings within.
More striving within.
More patience in suffering. More sorrow for sin.
More sorrow for sin.
More faith in my Savior.
More faith in my Savior.
More sense of His care.
More sense of His care.
More joy in His service.
More joy in His service.
More purpose in prayer.
More purpose in prayer.
More gratitude give me.
More gratitude give me.
More trust in the Lord.
More trust in the Lord.
More pride in His glory.
More pride in His glory.
More hope in His word.
More hope.
More tears for His sorrows.
More tears for His sorrows.
More pain at His grief.
More pain at His grief.
More meekness in trial.
More meekness in trial.
More praise for relief.
More praise for relief.
More purity give me. More strength to overcome.
More strength to overcome.
More freedom from earth stains.
More freedom from earth
stains. More longing for home.
More longing for home.
More fit for the kingdom.
More fit for thy kingdom.
More useful
more
I'll be. More blessed and holy.
More blessed and holy.
More Savior like thee.
More Savior like
thee. Let us turn this hymn into prayer points. Lord, give me more holiness. Let me strive against sin more within. Give me more patience in suffering. May I experience more sorrow when I stumble into sin. May I have more faith in my Savior. May I have more joy in His service. May I have more purpose in prayer. Lord, I desire to have more gratitude. Help me to sense Your care for me more. In the name of Jesus. I want to have more trust in the Lord. I want to have more pride in His glory. I want to be proud in the things that glorify God. I want to have more hope in His word. I long to have more tears for things that causes Him sorrow. Lord, I want to feel more pain at Your grief. Things that grieve You, I want to feel more pain. Lord, give me more meekness in trial. Give me more praise for the relief that You send my way. Father, give me more purity. Give me more strength to overcome. Lord, give me more freedom from earth stains, from the stains of this world. Lord, may I begin to have more longings for home. Knowing that this world is not my own. I'm only passing through. I'm only here for a season. Help me to begin to have more longings for home. Make me more fit for Your kingdom.
make me more fit for your kingdom. I want to become more useful to you. I want to become more useful to you, Lord. I want to be more blessed and holy. Savior, I want to be more like you.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of thee. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe. In awe of you, I stand in awe of you, in awe of you, I stand in awe of you, Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Cause me to have more fear of the Lord. As I've asked for more holiness, more pain at His grace, may I begin to have more fear of the Lord. For the fear of God, that is the beginning of wisdom. Cause me to fear you, Lord. Let me be more afraid of displeasing you than displeasing people. And be more afraid of disobeying you than displeasing men. In the name of Jesus, help me, Father. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, thank you for how you began with us. We plead that may you continue in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as many of us who have been insisting to you that you must keep carrying us, help us to stop such childishness today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you stop treating us as children and that you start treating us as sons and daughters in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are faithful. As we're about to hear your word again, we plead that you bring us clarity again, depths of understanding in our spirits again, so that we can respond properly and with understanding to the matters that you'll be raising with us. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. God bless you. Let us be seated. In this lesson, we are going to be looking at every unfruitful branch will be cut off. Every unfruitful branch will be cut off. Fruitful branch will be cut off. John chapter 15 and verse 2. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. And he prunes He prunes the branches that produces fruit.
So they will produce even more.
So that they can produce even yet more fruit. Amen. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Or as modern translations call it, he cuts off. Unfruitfulness may not necessarily be termed as lack of fruit. No. It is equally the same thing as lack of the expected type of fruit, which is the same thing as barrenness. Amen. For instance, if you planted corn, okay? Corn. And the corn that you planted, by the time it budded and it was producing fruit, it brought out cashew. Is it not barren? Huh? If you had wanted cashew, what would you have done? You'd have planted cashew fruit. Are you getting it now? But what you wanted was corn, and that's why you planted seeds of corn. And now it's time to produce for you. It's bringing out cashew. Is that not barren? Is that not rebellious? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 to 8.
When the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer.
Every ground that is good ground, what does it do?
Soaks up.
When rain rains on it, like that last night rain, it will drink from the water that came upon it from heaven. Why? By drinking that water, it's taking nourishment. Yes?
And bears a good crop for the
farmer. So, once it has taken water, it bears a good crop. Okay? Yes?
It has God's blessing.
So, because it's fulfilling its purpose, God's blessing rests upon it. Are you getting that? Yes?
But if a field bears thorns and thistles.
But a piece of ground that after taking good rainwater, all that it can bear are thorns or thistles, which are poisonous plants.
It is useless.
What is it, though?
It is useless.
It's useless.
The farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it.
That land will soon be condemned and burnt. Amen. In fact, when they want to deal with such land, they sprinkle salt on it. And that's how to kill it perpetually to never produce anything again. A life that keeps hearing the truth of God's word and does not produce with it is near unto what? Oh? Speak now. We just read Bible. Eh? If you know what you want to say, raise your hand so that I'll call you to say it. Eh? It is near. Read it from King James. Because the word condemn is a bit nice and modern.
And it's near unto being caused.
Eh?
Unto being caused.
Okay. Ten your bad Bible, kon lorun o ma gba kini o. Agbegun e. But that no blessing, no cause. There's nothing that you must take one. Amen. In the same way, when a ground or a tree does not bear what is expected, okay? In the same way, hypocrisy, self-righteousness, spiritual pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, and so on, they are actually fruits. What are they? They are wild grapes, if you want to be more specific. Remember Isaiah chapter 2 that Staron Ken led us to read in the morning? Huh? That I waited for it to produce fruit, a grape. What does it produce? So wild grapes. Yet it is as good as if the so-called Christian whose life produces these wrong and evil fruits is actually barren as far as the Lord is concerned. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Bible says, he cuts it off. The reality about our Christian life is this. We are expected to be fruitful once we are born again. What did I say? once we take root downwards, the Lord expects us that we should bear fruit upwards. Amen. And actually, when we say fruit that is meat for repentance or evidences of a genuine salvation and of a true change of life, okay? It is actually the root that must first go down. Why most people don't bear fruit upwards? It's because even the fruit, the root that should go down, there's no root. There's no fruit that is meat for repentance. Amen. That is, there is no character or behavior that is consistent with the change of life. And we must begin from there before we can now come to being under the control of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There is no evidence of a change of life. Do you understand? What must go down first of all as root is what? When I say fruit meet for repentance, it just simply means the root of the tree that will eventually grow. Now, when you plant a seed, what grows first? Branch or root? Okay? So, if root grows first, and not fruit is what grows first, okay? We must bring forth evidence of a changed life. Evidence of true repentance. Before we can now say we want to be bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Please, do we understand? Now, evidence of true repentance cannot be faked. What did I say you can't do to it? Oh? If you are faking it, after a while you'll be tired. And the real you will come out. You understand? Now, but then that's even amongst men. That's even to human beings. Are you getting it? So God, from day one, did you confuse him? That because somebody is now carrying Bible, but he is still not free from his sin. But because he's still not carrying Bible and is even going out for evangelism, but he's still a sinner. As going out for evangelism now confuse God. Who did not try for me? Let's overlook what must happen to him. No. Because if we overlook what must happen to him, what is wrong with the sinner is not the act of sins that he commits. Amen. What is wrong with the sinner is that he's a sinner by nature. Do you understand? If a sinner does not sin for 1 week, what is he still owe? If he doesn't sin for 1 week and he dies like that, where is he going? He's still going to hell. Why? Because what's wrong with him is not what he's doing. But the nature, the way he is, that makes him behave the way he behaves. That's what is wrong with him. Are we getting it now? Now, training. Wearing clothes. No, when I say training. Changing speech. Bringing spiritual disciplines like fasting and prayer. Cannot turn a sinner into a saint. Amen. No, he can't. He must come to that point. When and where he knows he's a sinner. And if he continues in the way he is, he will be condemned and he will go to hell. Then he comes to God on the basis of the fact that he's a sinner. But he wants to stop living a life of sin and he wants to start living for righteousness sake. Are you getting it now? Only then can he become born again. Having put his faith in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ that it is sufficient to save him. Only then can he become saved. Now, when he's now saved, immediately the first work of the Holy Spirit in his life is the Holy Spirit will start bearing fruit if he repented genuinely. The Holy Spirit will start bearing fruit that is consistent with a change of life. Are you getting it? The reason why most people cannot produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit is because even their foundation is wrong. They are not genuinely or they are not really born again. They got born again because maybe somebody was saying, if you want your job, if you want your own miracle job, if you want your own miracle, this one miracle, that one, come out. Or you can't have it except you are born again. And so therefore, since he wants to have maybe favor or freedom from his enemies or death of his enemies, he comes out to be born again. Such kind of salvation is not safe, for it does not save anybody. The only basis for salvation is that man is a sinner and he cannot help himself. But God had already made a provision in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that everyone who comes to him will not perish but will have everlasting life. There must be a change of nature before there can be a change of life. There are no two ways about it. If there's no change of nature, there can't be a change of life. Somebody's a monkey. You are saying that he should start wearing clothes. That once he's wearing clothes, he's no longer a monkey. Is it not all I need to do? Is it not just to throw a banana? Is that not all I need to do? So that you have one agbada for the monkey, or he's wearing suit and you have shaved all his fur. Does that make him less a monkey? If you bring all the pastors that you know that are anointed, can they anoint a goat that when we throw it down from a skyscraper to fly? If they anoint it, will it fly? Why? By nature, is it made to fly? No. Because of several gimmicks to get the church filled up, we have betrayed the cause of the gospel. Several ministers have become enemies of the cross. Just because we want to fill the church, God's standards were laid aside. They let them come in. When they come in, they will change. And the moment they came in, Satan came in with them. And before you know it, they hijacked the pulpit. Brethren, if there must be a change of life, there must be a change of nature. There are no two ways about it. If that nature of sin does not change to a nature of righteousness, it is impossible to bear fruit unto righteousness. Why? Because at the basis of it all, from the place where things are produced, what is still producing is rebellion. Do you understand? That's the way it is. In fact, I make bold to say today that the reason why the church needs so much deliverance ministry is because this simple foundation was taken away. Amen. There have been no need. And when I'm talking about deliverance ministry, I'm not talking about casting out devils from unbelievers. I'm talking about people that are supposedly born again, that are having spirit husband, spirit uncle, and spirit aunties. That's what I'm talking about. Spirit mummies that come to talk them in bed every night. If somebody was properly born again, there would be nothing like that nonsense. Me, to the glory of God, I sleep daily like a baby. No matter how much I abuse the devil, whenever I'm preaching anywhere, I don't go masoluwa. So that I come up and no call. I plead the blood of Jesus. I don't waste it. As long as I remain where I'm supposed to remain, nothing can touch me. It's as simple as that. If we do things rightly, if we do things the Bible way, we'll have Bible results. Amen. Satan knows that he has no authority over anybody who is genuinely saved. He knows. And that's why he took away the road to genuine salvation from the church. That's why. Somebody, the cross was not preached to you. Sin was not preached to you. And somebody told you are born again. Really? Somebody didn't hear anything about the cross. Didn't hear anything about the fact that as long as he continues in this sin, he will perish. But somehow he's born again. That born again cannot carry you for long. Because it's not real. See, if somebody is genuinely saved, who is the youngest child here? Where's Joshebed? Please bring her forward. Is she sleeping? Okay, bring the next one. Just carry her and bring her. I just want to make an illustration. If somebody is like this child in the spirit, let's say the day he got born again, he's already higher than the devil. What did I say? Already. It's not anything. He only does not know. And all you need to do is tell him. That's all. If he says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, go away. That devil will go away. Because they are not on the same level. Thank you. Every enemy from my father's house. Those things, they are not in the Bible. They are nowhere. You can't find. But they quote scriptures. Please, write down the scriptures that they've quoted for you, so that they can be explained in this place today. Those things are lies. How many people who were born again under the ministry of Paul did he deliver? answer me, oh. Eh? Or when people come to Jesus and say, what must I do to be saved? Did he say, now that you are free from sin, we need special deliverance to deliver you from the enemies of your father's house, your mother's house, uncle's house, aunt's house. Did he say so? If we won't preach against sin, then we must be ready to keep delivering people, even who are pastors' wives, from the devil. Simple. As simple as that. Preach. See, you don't want house flies. Do you want house flies? If you want to eliminate house flies, what do you need to do in your house? Keep a place how? If you don't want Satan and his people, keep your life clean from sin. Flies will not be around you. After all, Beelzebub means Lord of Flies. Abby, won't be around you. Simple. Keep your life clean. Keep it holy. Keep it under Baba's control. You'll be hearing that they say devil did something to some people somewhere. Say, Ugao. That's how you'll be hearing. And when you begin to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit, when they see you, they know. It's not, you don't need to say, can't you see? You know, I watched one. Oh my God. Let me not go there. It's terrible. Pastor say, you are going today. The demon say, I say, I'm not going. Just actors. And the pastor put head on the demon. It's not a film, Nigerian pastor. It's not a film. Remove dirty things. Amen. By nature, when you put a seed into a good ground, by nature, what will happen to that seed? So why is it that since we have planted Christ in you, how come growth is difficult? Are you getting it? We need to look at it. How come becoming like him is difficult? Brethren, we must take root first downwards, okay? Before we can bear fruit upwards. That's the way God made it. That's the way he made it. We must bring forth attitudes, lifestyle that is consistent with a changed life before the Holy Spirit can now be ready to work in us such that we can be producing his fruits. You understand? This is the matter today. When this is not done, we are in danger of being cut off. We are in danger of being forcefully ejected from the fold by the Lord God himself. This is the issue today, brethren. So many fruitless so-called believers. No fruit that is made for repentance. No fruit of the Holy Spirit. A totally barren and a totally useless life as far as the purpose of God for humanity is concerned. Yet, it is only he who takes root downwards that can ever hope to bear fruit upwards. When we must still keep struggling with you to take God seriously, or to abandon the works of the flesh, or to yield to the sanctifying effect of personal consecration, how can you ever take root downwards, seeing that you have no root in yourself? Even your current conviction in Christ, alas, is it not borrowed? Don't you believe in Jesus only because some other people believe? In the same way, until you personally make up your own mind to walk with God, how must you make up your mind? Personally, not as a group thing. That you just have to tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. By bringing forth fruit that is meet for repentance, and take out time to personally and constantly deepen the roots of your conviction in Christ, you will never begin to board, not to talk about producing fruits. This is because, and what I want to say now is very important, personal, obedient response to the instructions and commands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and constant yielding to the Lordship, nudging, direction, and guidance of the Holy Spirit is what produces a spiritual life. Amen. This is because what? Personal, obedient response to the instructions and commands of the Lord Jesus, and constant yielding to the Lordship, nudging, direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, that is what produces a spiritual life. Too many professing Christians are comfortable with the current arrangement in the body of Christ, where they don't have to be responsible for anything in their lives. They prefer somebody that will just prophesy for them, see vision, this is what you are going to be tomorrow, go and do these three things, and all is well. Amen. You know, it's a very good concept. You don't need to study the Bible, you don't need to do anything. But you can't become anything like that. Amen. You can't. You can't become anything that way. They merely concern themselves with church attendance, paying of tithes and offering, shallow involvement in service groups whenever their jobs permit, and so on. As such, this kind of a seemingly spiritual life, impersonal and unreal, cannot produce any long-lasting or life-changing Christian testimony that will be an asset to heaven and a threat to hell. Amen. Fruit that is meant for repentance. What are they? I want us to look at them briefly as we begin. Fruit that is meet for repentance, that is proof of genuine repentance instead of mere profession and outward show of religion. Number one, the testimony of a changed life. Number one is what? The testimony of a changed life. Number two. Okay, under that you can write 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll still explain them, okay? Let me just list them so that way it's easy for us to quickly handle. The testimony of a changed life. Number two, 5:17. Number two, assurance of salvation. If we say somebody is taking root downwards, if we say that he's showing forth fruit that is consistent with a repented life, this is what we'll see in his life. Number one, there'll be clear evidence, there'll be clear testimony that his life has changed. He's not living the way he used to live before. Number two, assurance of salvation. He will be grown up as a Christian. He will be what? Now, I know that sounds confusing because we just said, he just got born again, Abby. But you see, things like self-condemnation, you know, self-effort, you won't see it in his life. He will rest simply on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He will put all his hopes on just what Christ has done. Okay, but when I get there, I will explain further also. This one that, because he met someone that drew and said, you know, Shebini, I wonder if I love you. She's going to come and talk, she's going to come and suffer. And you start forgetting, and you start shaking because somebody with environmental spirit saw something. Amen. Number three. Fruit that is made for repentance. Humble obedience to and complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Humble obedience to and complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Fruit that is meet for repentance. Number four. Can I continue? I should come again. Number three. Humble obedience to and complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Number four, steady and consistent Christian growth. Steady and consistent Christian growth are seen in the following. So I will explain what we mean, what shows that somebody's growth is steady and consistent, okay? When I'm explaining it, I'll list those other points, okay? Or should we just list it now, then we'll explain everything together? Okay. Number one, or A, under that number four, A. A close discipleship relationship with the Lord Jesus. A close discipleship relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and his human disciples. Matthew 9:9, Luke 14:33, Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 16:1-5. Have we taken number one? B now. Where did you stop? All the scriptures. Matthew 9:9. Luke 14:33, Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 16:1-5. Have we gotten it now? Can I continue? Where are you lost, sir? Have you gotten it? Okay, I can continue. B, addiction to the Word of God. What did I call it? Do you remember when you first got born again? It's like you are. There's this drive, there's this zeal to do. Call it to read your Bible, pray, Abby. Huh? Or it didn't happen to you? That one too didn't happen. Addiction to the Word of God, to meditation, to prayer, and to practice of the Word of God. B, addiction to the Word of God. Addiction to meditation. Addiction to prayer. And addiction to the practice of what you are learning. Okay? So, under addiction, you have Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:2. So, you can just write underneath all that point that I have written. Addiction. Then, dash, you put the scriptures that relate with that. Okay? The Word of God. That is addiction to the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119:9-11. Job 22:22. Addiction to the Word of God. Addiction to meditation. Or you can just write meditation or addiction to meditation. Psalm 119:97. Colossians 3:16. Psalm 119:97. Colossians 3:16. Addiction to prayer. 1 Peter 5:7. Philippians 4:6-7. Addiction to the practice of God's word. James 1:21-25. James 1:21-25. Luke 11:27-28. Addiction to the practice of God's word. Have you gotten that? C now. You know A, B, C. Okay? C now. Steady, consistent, and practical change of life in every area. Steady, consistent, and practical change of life in every area. 2 Corinthians 5:15-17. In bracket, that is, in music, in dressing, in types of film, in fashion, in drinks, and in friends, you know, and so on and so forth, okay? D, the emergence or budding of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Budding, B-U-D-D-I-N-G. Emergence, manifestations, or emergence, that is the budding of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let me backtrack a bit so I can explain these things, then we can move on. If somebody says that he's really, really born again, or his life has, or is now saved, it should be clear from his life. Is it not so? In the olden days, at least even when the ones that you call olden days, when you were alive, when people become born again, what do we see with them? Huh? We see that their lives, they're just something different about them. You may not be able to put it in words, but you know that they have changed. Is it not so? I want to just think, but maybe when you were in school, maybe on campus, or maybe secondary school or something, maybe there was somebody around you that got born again. You just notice that they are different from what they used to be. So how come now when we became born again, we are just the same? The only difference is that now we are carrying Bible and we are attending fellowship. But everything else is the same. So obviously that can't be the real thing. Amen. So, the first thing is that there must be the testimony of a changed life. So that means it begins to have a new attitude towards sin. Instead of the careless way it talks and just sin, or behave and just sin, what happens now? So that this person is now more careful. There's a new attitude towards sin. Amen. You see that he doesn't want to just quickly join everybody. Say, okay, we are going to do maybe this party or something. Maybe there's this family party. We want to sew Ashebi. I'm going to sew this latest style. Even if she's going to sew Ashebi, you will notice that she's not quick to join a bandwagon of sewing latest style and all that. Do you understand? You begin to see a new perspective at looking at the world. I mean, the system of this world. I'm explaining point number one now. You begin to see new desires. Instead of want, instead of that, we'll be asking that, where else they would prayer meeting? You understand? There will be new desires. But this kind of Christianity that there are no new desires. That all you keep saying is, if not that I'm a Christian, I know where I would have been. That is not a saved person. Somebody whose salvation does not bring him joy. No, that's not a saved person. He begins to have a new family and to have new friends. Okay? He begins to see the brethren now more and more as members of his own family. Because he understands that we are all one big family in the Lord. You understand? And he begins to have new friends. And he now has a new relationship with God. Amen. He can now begin to study his Bible. He can begin to experience the fact that he's loved. And that if he will just talk to God, God will hear him. That's what it means to have a changed life. That is a testimony of a changed life. When we are saying assurance of salvation, that is, he will be sure that he's what now? That he's saved. You'll be sure. All the things that Satan does that you'll be accusing him, you know, there'll be no more self-condemnation. Why? For Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. There'll be no more self-condemnation. If you do something that is wrong, maybe to people or to God, once he prays about it, he doesn't feel anyhow. If Satan comes and says, you're a Christian and you did this kind of thing, say no. I know my Father. I know, and he knows that I don't want to live a life of sin. This was a mistake. And I'm not above mistake. I'm not claiming to be above mistake. But I know if I talk to him in truth, he will forgive me, and that will be it. There will be no more self-effort. How many of you have tried to reach God? As you are, you know, coming up in your walk with God, or you have ever felt, if only God would notice me too. Have you been like that? Because me, I've been like that before. I don't know about you. Because maybe you just went straight. You know? There'll be no more. So, self-effort is that you are trying to pray, you are trying to be conscious, to do good. You understand? Hoping that maybe those things will make God to recognize you. No. When you are becoming assured in the fact that you are saved, you don't need to do that. Because simply following God covers all of that. Okay? There'll be no more self-righteousness. Thinking that because if you can only fast 3 days a week or 2 times in a month, that maybe you become more spiritual. Amen. We fast to discipline our bodies. We fast to pray. We don't fast to be holy. Amen. We don't fast to live in righteousness. Because there are commands that take care of that already. Do you notice that? Have you ever done maybe dry fast in 7 days? You that doesn't normally boast, what do you notice? You just find out that you just start boasting. Some people tell you, Moses, I carry 7 days. What? By that statement, what happens to the 7 days? It's cancelled before God. Because Jesus said, if you are going to fast, don't do like the hypocrites who wear their fast on their face. What's the time? Or they keep boasting about it and keep doing something because they are fasting. Jesus said, when you are fasting, rub powder on your face. Look nice. Your father to whom you are fasting in secret, he will reward you in secret, and he will also answer so that people will see that God has answered you. But what do you notice with us whenever we are fasting? We want to boast and show. In fact, we announce. Those that are not from our church know that we are fasting. I found an easier way. I found that it is easier to just simply follow Jesus and get what people fast for. Amen. Amen. Didn't Jesus teach about fasting? So am I saying don't fast? No, I'm not saying don't fast because it's holy to fast. I mean, it's a righteous thing or it's a good thing, it's a Christian thing to fast. But where... we're in the midst of our fasting. Maybe you went somewhere, they want to offer you food. We are still doing our 40 days. Who is asking you? What you just simply say is, thank you, I'm not feeling like eating. Once somebody knows you're fasting, you're not fasting. Is that not what Jesus said? But then, it is Moses that we believe. It's not Jesus. So, it doesn't matter the things Jesus said. The church had long forgotten the things Jesus said. Long. That's why we don't practice the things he says. No more self-righteousness and no more hypocrisy. You understand? You will just be yourself the way you are. You don't need to act because you are in church. No. You just be yourself. When we are talking about fruit that is made for repentance, which is the root that must first go down, we are talking about a life of humble obedience to and complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And it is wisdom to start it early. So that by the time you are more mature as a Christian, it becomes like second nature to you. Sadly, most of us don't. I don't know, maybe it's because we are not taught, or maybe we're not taught on time, or we're not taught properly. I don't know whatever the reason is. But I know that most church people are not even working with the Holy Spirit, not to talk of depending on Him. And when you talk about spiritual things, people look at you as if they want to take offense. Say, how is your spiritual life? Did I tell you I'm sick? Of course, that's the evidence that you are sick. Because it's a simple question. I'm fine, no? I'm not fine. Help me, oh. Should have been a simple answer. Say, well, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? People say that. Somebody's asking you, how is your spiritual life? Is that not what I should ask you? If you know me very well, what do I ask you? If I've not seen you in a long time, what will I ask you? Where are you? And when you want to tell me about a location, I will say, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking, where are you in the spirit? I'm looking for you. Where are you? I said steady and consistent Christian growth. Now, it's on that foundation that fruitfulness, are you getting it now, is built upon. Steady and consistent Christian growth are seen in a close relationship with God. Did Jesus have members? Jesus Christ, did he have members? What did he have? Huh? Disciples or followers. What did he call his followers? What name did Jesus call them? You know, I wonder why we don't use that name again. It is member that we use now. Even when Jesus doesn't have member. Amen. I told somebody once, the way to treat a soul, or the way to treat a person as a soul and as a member is not the same. Amen. Because me, I treat people as souls. I don't treat them as members. So I know it's not the same. Should I show you the differentiation just briefly? If you are a member, all I'm concerned about is I need to be nice to you and do customer service so that you'll come again. Eh? I said, God bless you. We didn't see you, man. Is everything fine? So everyone, you say that my work is... No, my work, I'm just very busy with work. I really don't have time to come to church and all of that. Hey, yeah, may God help us. So, you know, if you like yourself, you don't tell me that your work keeps you busy. Sure, you know. Because I teach you like a soul. I will tell you that that work can't save you. That what will it profit you if you gain the old world and you lose your soul? Then I'll tell you that you are an idol worshiper. You are worshiping that work. That's how to treat a soul. Someone says, how can you talk to me like that? They will go. But because you are a soul, I'll be praying for you in my heart. Because what I told you is the truth. It may be blunt, but that is the truth. And after a while, oh, if God wants to help you, you will now see that. I mean, they worship this work through. By the time you now come back, I asked somebody once, why did you go away before? Said, the person said, because I was worldly. I said, because you know we didn't chase you. I said, yes. I said, why did you go away? I said, because I was worldly. I said, why have you returned back now? I said, I've seen that there's nothing in the world. I said, welcome, welcome. You understand? There must be a close relationship with God from the very beginning. Learn to talk to Him about everything. Don't worry if you say, but I can't hear Him talk back. Don't worry. I will tell you how to hear Him talk back. But make up your mind that you want to be close to God. That you want to tell Him everything, no matter whatever that pains you, you want to talk to God about it. For that's what Jesus died for. He didn't die so that there will be one prophet between you and Him. He said, what do you want? You know, there are some things you can't tell people. That you wish you can just tell God. I cannot tell people. For instance, maybe while you are feeling, I won't tell God. God, this my suffering is enough. You know, if I tell you, if you tell me, I'm saying, let me counsel you. But meanwhile, the matter is not counsel. You just want to express yourself the way you feel. And God likes that. They say, this suffering is supposed to say, no, but it's not suffering, it's training. But if I'm the one telling you, say, yes, sir. But you have not heard, though. It's like, child, leave me, let me go. Somebody cannot even express himself. It must be a close relationship. Right from the very beginning. And if when you became a Christian, it wasn't a close relationship, now it's not too late to start it. Learn to talk to him about everything. But what if I can't hear back? It's simple. Do you know why it's simple? Once you are ready to obey what is written in the Bible, you will be able to discern and respond to the spoken word. If you will obey the written word, the things written in the Bible that you should do, since is that not the word of God too? Is that not the voice of God too? If you will obey it, when God speaks to your spirit, you pick it easily. If it is a lifestyle for you to obey your Bible. Okay? It's as simple and as basic as that. Because he said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And then I will manifest myself to him. So, if once you're ready to obey your Bible, most of you here, those who are close to me, at least you know me, what is my rule? It's Bible. If I ever fight you, it will be because you are not agreeing with the Bible. I can never fight you on a personal basis. What can you do to offend me? Amen. It's the Bible. And that's how I live my life. Not just that, that's how I do ministry. That's how I live as a person. Once you've made up your mind that you are going to obey your Bible, it will be very easy to hear God when He speaks. Why? Because the speaker is the same person that authored the Bible. So He won't say what will be against what has been written. No. Amen. Same thing goes for a close relationship with human disciples. God puts men who are more mature than us in the faith, okay, in front of us to help us. Why does God put men in front of us? Huh? That's the only reason, so that we don't fall into holes and gutters and dangers that they might have fallen into. And that's why if God will ever raise you up as a leader, you are going to suffer terribly. Amen. Not because He hates you, but because He's preparing you to be able to help other people. Nobody can minister beyond his own life. Amen. That is, you can't lead people beyond your own experience. No. So, to qualify you as a leader, even when you are young, it will make you go through. Once Paul said, it's as if God has made us apostles. Spectacles. That the world can just be looking at them. Once he said that. Amen. If God wants to help you, He points you to a man. Amen. If He wants your growth to be accelerated, He points you to somebody that you should follow that person. And of course, all you need to look at is if that person follows Christ. And if he follows Christ, why not? Why not? And it is Jesus, the author of eternal salvation, that made it so. Because He told men, go into all the world and do what? And make disciples for me. It is Jesus that appointed men to do so. The current arrangement in the church is that maybe we come on days of meeting, Abby. If there's something wrong, the pastor will talk to you for a while and all of that. Everybody comes during days of meeting. So, even from home, you're already wearing a costume. Where do people wear a costume? Is it not on stage? Eh? Don't you notice the way people transform when they enter church? That's why it's possible that somebody will be like that for 25 years. And he will not change. He will be living that double life. Why? Because the way God ordained it is such that you are looking at the lives of people ahead of you. Eh? So that it can be easy for you to see how to behave. And He gives you such opportunity to look at them even when they don't know you are looking at them. Of course, no church minister wants people to come and live with them today. So that when he's slapping madam, nobody will notice. Because if I slap my wife, you say, okay, so this is how to slap when I marry. I'll do my hand very well like this. Do you understand? People don't like people living with them. Why? Because all you need to do is move a bit close. You see there's no fruit. That's all you need to do. Amen. And it's not worthy to be followed. Any man who is not ready to keep his life transparent and open. Sorry, that is not ready. Is that what I said? No, it's not worthy, is what I wanted to say. It's not worthy to be followed. Any man who does not make his life transparent so that brethren can see him at any angle that they are trying to see from. It's easy now. If it's just that, if all we do is meet here 2 hours, I can behave in 2 hours. If I fought my wife before I came, do you know? Do you understand? It's only if you are really, really close that you will know. That's how you know now. About case of people, they want to enter church. They just drove in. The pastor will slow down before they enter the church. Clean your face, so don't spoil my ministry. Ministry that I spoiled long ago. When God wants to help you, what He does for you is that He places a man in front of you. Okay? That's what He does. He makes your walk. He makes your growth accelerated. Where's Shego? Is Shego here? He has stepped out. I wish he was here. Because most of you that you are here, you are a bit young. When I was discipling them, I used to share with them my mistakes. And I would tell them, you stand up now. You were there now. I knew that. Am I right or wrong? That don't take this way. I took this way. Oh, Say, you see, don't go this way. And if you go that way, go to Baba. And honestly, when people say, when they go that way, oh, when they come back, they will quietly tell my wife. Because you know, if you tell me, I'm going to flog you very well because I told you. But people seem to say, no, let me make my mistake. Ah, you may not come back. That's the issue. You may not come back. And God knows that some of those mistakes could be so costly that people won't come back. So, He puts people in front of you. I used to say, if you don't want to learn by instruction, you learn by experience, but you may not survive the experience. Okay? So when we are talking about consistent Christian growth, you must be close to God. And if you're close to God, now, why does He do that? Brethren, He does that. I mean, put somebody in front of us. Why? Why? Why is it a must? Why can't we just live our lives and find our own way with God? The reason why He does that is this. If He just shows you Jesus, because man is fleshy, we say, what? If nobody is able to do it, Jesus will do it now. He's the Son of God. He has no sin. Are you getting it now? And it becomes a very good excuse that we can't be like Him because He was not born with sin. Now, do you notice that it sounds spiritual? Eh? But it's error. For the purpose of God is that we should become like Jesus. The Word of God says so. Now, look at our earlier session. I mentioned fruitfulness and I was talking about Jesus. Who did I mention next? The moment I mentioned David, what happened to all your excuses before? Just David just disappeared. Yeah, it's true. He's a man. No? I mean, he was even a man caught in adultery himself. And yet God will say this and say this about him. Why God puts men in front of men is to show that what is demanding is possible. Do you understand? And it's to show you that there are people in your time and day who are doing the same thing that you are saying is not possible. So He shows them to you. That's what He does. I'm not saying this so that you can follow me. Amen. I'm only saying, find a man who follows Jesus. And it's simple how to know whether somebody follows Jesus. Look at your Bible, see how Jesus used to behave. Look at him. Place Bible beside him. It won't be long, you will see. For instance, I was trying to monitor a particular preacher, whether he's serious or not. And because I wanted to give him benefit of the doubt, are you getting it? I don't want to assume anything since I just knew that my spirit wasn't comfortable with him, but I wanted to just... So all I needed to do was simple. I need to just look at the life of Christ and look at what this man does. That's all I need to do. And of course, after a while, he showed me who he is without talking to me. Abi, if you want to do giving, you must use microphone. What did Jesus say? That when you want to give. Eh? So if you are using microphone and you are saying, you know, I just thank the Lord the way He's using me. Someone like me, you think I'll believe you? I know you may believe, but me, I look at my Bible very well. That's why if I want to give you something, I will not announce it. Why? Because Jesus said, don't announce it. Or you want to pray, and then you are raising your voice, and you are doing, Jesus has said that it is unbelievers that repeats. Abi? So I know if I'm praying, I'm not supposed to do that one. That's what it means to look at the life of Jesus and copy His example. So you want to follow somebody, look at the life of Christ, look at what the man is doing. Of course, that means that you can't follow anybody if you are not serious with your Bible too. Because you can just tell you, can't you see as I'm looking like Jesus? And you believe, yeah, pastor is really looking like Jesus because you are not reading your own Bible. If you read your own Bible, you will see the way Jesus lived. You see how simple He was. I see how even when Jesus healed blind eyes, He would tell them to go to the temple to go and give offering. Where their eyes open at the temple. Because that's what we do today. We will open your eyes here. We'll now send you back to your church to go and give your offering. Eh? You didn't hear me? Didn't they see that you were blind before? What did they do? But He will say, take your offering. Go and give it at the temple. And don't tell anybody that you used to be blind. than now that you can see. Here, what do we do? You don't need to tell anybody. We have a television station. Then we will show before. See, oh. Say you see, you can't see, see, oh. Look at, look well, oh. This is not, we don't. Can you see that it's blind? Oh my God. And of course, the moment you see that, you know, if you're like me, oh, me, I know they are not going anywhere. I know they are not serious. I know they are doing it for another motive and purpose. When you find genuine men of God, they are just like Jesus. When they have not gotten it right, they will not look like him. And they will not do ministry like him. They won't. So find a man, a woman, a sister, a brother. Sister, if you're a sister, I'm not saying find a brother. Find somebody who can be ahead of you in the Lord, from whose life you can learn. Okay? When you follow them, you'll be happy for it. That's what I did. And I'm happy for it today. May you find it also, and may you find it early in Jesus' name. I said also, addiction to the word of God. May this become your addiction. That for every step you take, for every statement you make, there are 2-3 scriptures explaining why you said what you have said and what it means. Most of us don't even study before we come to the point of addiction, that we are now addicted. Amen. Back in the spirit realm, what they deal with is words. Even if this fruit will be built in you and will be worked out in you, what is the tool or instrument that God will use? Huh? It is his word. Now, let us talk. Look at your Bible study life. Are you okay? So that we can start dealing with that. Because, like, I don't know which meeting was I. There was a meeting here some Saturday. Was that where I was saying that I can't read your Bible for you? Yes, that was the meeting. I said, look at your Bible. Whose name did they write? People look, they say it's their own. So that means your Bible. So now, I can't read this Bible for you. Because I have my own. Okay? I have seen over and over again how the Word of God has regulated my life. Changed my perspective. Changed the way I see things. Often people who are very close to me wonder when I say something. Maybe they even think I have spiritual eyes. Maybe I can see. No. Me, I just read my Bible. But I will say that thing based on maybe several scriptures that I've been able to process and put together. Amen. And that's what will happen because it's not my word, it's the word of God. You must. Now, addiction goes beyond study. Amen. Addiction does what? Addiction means something you can't do without. Sure you know. And there must be study before we can come to the point of addiction. As far back as when I was 18, I had very small Bibles that are not larger than this phone. So that wherever I am, in case God is saying something, I can quickly check it. Wherever I am. If you've seen a device that I've used before, maybe phone or computer or something, there's one signature that you know I've used it before. You see different types of Bibles and study materials. Amen. That's what you see. You must become addicted. Why is that important? Because the law in the spirit realm is the word of God. What did I say? That's why. So, when you are not loaded with the word, you are like, you know, balloon that has been blown. What is its weight? Huh? Very what? And do you need to kick balloon before it starts moving by itself? What do you just need? Just breeze. As breeze blows. Even if this small, it will just go like this. Yeah. And this is where they have pushed me. Balloon is always giving an excuse. He's still murmuring there. Then another one will go. Say, they are lifting me up. See, they are lifting me up. Why? It has no weight. What do you weigh in the spirit? Amen. What do you weigh? What do you wait?
And you see, I'm not talking about Bible knowledge.
What did I say?
I'm talking about loving the word such that the word is abiding in you and you are abiding in it.
Because it's different from Bible knowledge.
Bible knowledge is that, hello brethren, can you mention for me the name of the wife of Peter? That's Bible knowledge. It does not save anybody. Bible says knowledge profit up. I'm talking about abiding in the word and the word abiding in you. We cannot overemphasize it. So that when we have time to ask questions and all of that, we can bring it up. How can I be proficient in this thing? There's nothing that God will do in your life without his word. Nothing. Not one thing. I've worked with him this past over 20 years to his glory. And that's what I've discovered. There's nothing he will do. And check your Bible. There's nothing God had ever done that didn't use his word. Whether it is creation, no, or he wants to do something new, or he wants to save some people, or he wants to deliver some people, he will use his word. Where he didn't speak, he will use the person of the word of God, Jesus. Amen? Where what? Where is that he didn't even speak or say anything? You will see the living person of Jesus Christ, who is actually the word of God there. There's nothing that God does without the word. Nothing. So, you can't be far from that word and say you are close to God. Do you understand where I'm going now? You can't. It doesn't make any sense. For the essence that somebody is close to God is that you're close to his word. There must be an addiction to the word. I will not say more than that so that we can ask it with our questions, okay? Because if I want to start going into issues, I may generalize. But if we ask questions, it should be specific. You understand? Please, do you understand? That, okay, oh, how do we do this? Instead of me trying to explain all the different ways of why people don't read their Bible well. Some, after a while, you get bored. Because I may not be mentioning what concerns you. Are you getting it now? There must be an addiction to meditation. People read the Bible. Some even try to study. Okay? But because they don't meditate in the word, they can't sustain that lifestyle. Are you getting it now? They can't. And of course, there are processes in meditation, just that, just the same way we eat. You understand? First of all, you eat, Abby. You put it in your mouth. You masticate or you break it down a bit or something. Then you swallow it. Meditation is actually regurgitation. Bringing back what you have had, but has not been chewed into assimilable quantity. Okay? You bring back that thing that you've had. Then you begin to chew it again to break it down. To break it down. To break it down. Now, as you break it down further, you are asking questions. You are applying it to life circumstances or life, real life situation and all of that. Then you begin to practice it. So, from meditation, you enter naturally into practice. Do you understand? It's natural if you're somebody who meditates in the word. And before you know it, it becomes your lifestyle. That scripture becomes something that you can quote often because you studied on it. By addiction, you have looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and you have been practicing it. You get the idea now? There must be an addiction to not just studying the word, but to meditation. I used to tell some of our leaders that if you are a spiritual person, you must do one or two or three of these things. Either that side, maybe you are going around or you are doing about your daily business. Okay? It's either you are listening to holy songs or you are singing holy songs, or you are praying in your heart, or you are meditating in the word. Once you are not doing any of those three, you are not spiritual. Because all manner of things will take over your heart. And by the time you now say you want to do something spiritual, what happens now? You are now trying to say, Father, we declare. Or you are saying, maybe we are here. Father, we are here again. Holy Ghost, come and take control. Go, Lord. We are here, oh Lord, so that you can reconnect. Somebody who is addicted and in tune with God does not need to reconnect. Why? He's always connected. Do you understand now?
Of course, we must be addicted to prayer. Every worry is a prayer point. How many worries? Every concern is a prayer point. Everything that you are anxious about is a prayer point. Every interest is a prayer point. So we must be addicted to prayer. Most people who pray without ceasing. Most people who constantly and consistently talk to God about all things. And but how must I talk to Him? In your own words, being yourself. Don't do your mouth the way the person you need to respect in church does his mouth. Don't use his tone. You know, God doesn't like that kind of thing. He didn't make you a robot. Neither did He make you a clone. You understand? He made you to be you. And He made it easy so that you can pray by yourself in your own language. Okay? As you're coming through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Of course, we must be addicted also to practice. The Bible must be the way by which we live our lives now. Amen. There must be steady and consistent growth. There must be steady, consistent and practical change of life in every area. I think that's simple enough. Abby? And of course, we should start seeing the first signs of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. May God give increase to His word in Jesus' name. We'll continue from here tomorrow morning. Okay? But we say a word of prayer, then we can ask our questions now. Let us pray. Was not deeply planted in Christ, that is, if you were not genuinely born again before now, I want you to tell Him, Lord, I'm a sinner who needs grace. I'm a sinner who needs help. Save me from my sins. If you were genuinely saved, but somehow there was a problem along the way, such that you could not be fruitful, and such that your Christian journey became a struggle, I want you to tell Him, Lord, I don't want to struggle from henceforth. I want to experience steady, consistent, and continuous growth, even in the name of Jesus. As many, Lord, of us whom have been cut off because we have been born again for so long, and yet You didn't find any fruit in our lives. Father, in mercy, graft us in again. In the name of Jesus, graft us in again, Father. Graft us in. Lord, graft us in. In the name of Jesus. So that You can make something out of our lives, so that we can become what we are meant to be. In the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Give us grace. Give us grace, Lord. Do not abandon us to ourselves. Give us grace and help us. In the name of Jesus. Whenever it has been difficult, Lord, make it easy. As we come to bring ourselves to You, we will be accepted of You. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, we thank You. Thank You because You did not call the seed of Jacob to seek You in vain. Lord, I know that as You are speaking to us individually, You will give us answers and way out specifically also in the name of Jesus. So that we will never forget this meeting as a pivotal point in our walk with God. Thank You because we are faithful. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we will be closing very soon. So if you have questions, please let's ask on time. So that we can at least save some time. And it's not that we'll be putting pressure on the time that we're supposed to close. Questions from this session? Yes, Sister Ruth. What can we do to have a steady and consistent walk with God. What can we do such that we are not rising today and falling tomorrow? Amen. Very good question, don't you think so? Very good question. Now, in answering this question, which one do you want, the long version or this just summarized version? Because there are like two. It's the same thing, though, summarized. All you need to do is to abide in Him. That's all. Now, to abide simply means to remain in communion with Him, like I said before. And the word communion just simply means intimate relationship. Where instead of, like I used to explain to them here, I would say, instead of abandoning the Lord to go and run to sort out the things that you need to do, drag them inside where God is. Do them with God. And what used to look like a mountain and is so difficult, because as He's handling the whole world, He's looking at all the planets too and He's handling them. He's controlling them. Yet He knows what is in the mind of every angel. And all Satan's secret meetings is also there. Now if He can do so many things like that, you know, sometimes you feel that there's too much for me to do. I don't have control. So bring Him who has control in. Bring them into His presence instead of leaving Him to go and attend to them. That's always a problem. Okay? So communion just simply means intimate relationship. And when we say intimate, that means nothing is hidden. That means we share everything. So, my work, if you're having challenges there, talk to God about it. Seek His wisdom about it. If there's something there that you need to do that is difficult, invite Him officially that He should come and do it with you. For whatever the Lord does is perfect. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. He loves such invitation because He wants to relate with you at every level. You understand? So that's all to do. Abide in Him. Remain in communion with Him. Live and remain in communion with Him. Live and remain in obedience to Him. That's all. Once you do that, it'll be easy. Now, if you want to constantly remain with Him, there's so much, though there's how much you can go on meditation before you pick your Bible. Is it not so? There's how much you can go on Bible study before you see the need to pray. Do you understand? Then, there's how much you can do on all of those before you see that what you are feeling is only a song that can express it. So as you are involving Him in everything, and He's... Now, once you begin to involve Him in everything and in every area of your life, He begins to involve you in things that concern Him. Maybe I'm saying we're ministering now, so that I tell you ahead of time. He just begins to tell you things that concern Him, things He's burdened about also. And the relationship becomes more intimate. There are things I'm trusting in God for. I need Him to do miracles for me this month. Amen. No, it's not money. You know, because we have two major meetings this month. And I must submit something first day in May. And it's only God. It's only who? Who made man in just one day that can do for me what will take me a month to do. Okay? So, that's what I do. Instead of getting worried and all that, or abandoning my work with God so that I can try and balance that side. Because if I balance that side, my work with God would have broken down. Okay? So, what I do is I bring everything into His presence. And once I do that, things take their shape. If it was looking like a mountain before, it becomes a dwarf once it gets to Baba's presence. Things look, though they take their actual shape when they come into God's presence. That's how to have a steady and consistent Christian walk. Because that you are born again doesn't mean that you not go to work tomorrow. No, be so. It doesn't mean that maybe if you are responsible for some people or some things, you still have to do those things. Involve Him in them all. And you see Him carry you through them all. Hallelujah. That's the way to sort it out. Yes, I see your hand. We are recording. Nobody is hearing you.
Difficult. mustn't be difficult for someone.
Why is growth difficult? Growth is actually not difficult. Change is what is difficult. What did I say is not difficult? Growth is not difficult. It is a willingness to change that is what? That's just difficult. Once we get to a point in our lives, we like it like that. And we don't want to change. You understand? So, and the thing is that the more you study the Bible, the more you must repent. Amen. The more you will change. You will keep changing. You understand now? So because we don't like that consistency in change, okay? It looks difficult. But when did somebody just get to this point? Now somebody is moving on again. You understand? It is the willingness to change that is not there. And that's what makes change difficult. If we are willing to change, growth will be easy. Do you understand? I see your hand. I'll call you, but some other people have raised their hand. But please, do you understand? Do you understand? Oh, they don't want you, mommy. Okay. Is that how you understand or you don't understand? Okay, thank you. You understood. Yes. Then, brother, go and go afterwards. Is what? Fasting. Okay.
No, speaking. Second. If I can be, I know the Bible talking about God speaking to one of the prophets that, is this not the fasting that I desire? I can't really quote, but I know God was talking about the contrary. Yeah. Now I want to know the fasting there now. Okay, David fasting physically, and the Lord speaking about the attitude of like that. That is one. Then the second one I want to know is, at what stage in the life of a believer should we fast, go into fasting? Do we wait until the Lord speaks? Or because I don't see fasting coming only when you sin. Okay? I see it as a spiritual exercise that separates you. So at what stage do we go into fast? So that when somebody like me wants to fast, I won't turn into a religious activity. So that's just what I want to know.
Did God accept David's fasting? Did he say to us also in Isaiah 58 the kind of fasting he wants? That's all that fasting means. Do you understand? That means that fasting is one of the things that aids repentance. Do you understand? If we have sinned or if we have missed it, or we are trying to intercede on behalf of somebody who has sinned, we afflict our souls with fasting. Do you understand? It's a way of humbling ourselves before God. It's an attitude, actually. Are you getting it now? Then, because we remove ourselves from food or water so that we can concentrate on this business I want to do. Sometimes people fast also so that they can be in a spiritual frame of mind. Because sometimes when you eat too much, you sleep too much. Once you have eaten your maybe lunch or dinner, you want to take dessert. And once you are taking dessert, you just want a nice movie, you know, so that you can complete the day. Now, if you want to pray that same day, so you know it's still tomorrow morning. So, instead, you skip the food so that you can be in an attitude. If you have not eaten, you'll be alert. Because everything will be about you, will be about, I'm feeling hungry, that kind of thing. Are you getting it? Of course, there are times when we fast and we even feel as if we are hungry. Okay? So, both fasts are applicable. A believer should fast as often as he wants, as long as you are not boasting about it, and as long as you don't endanger your health. Endangering your health means the body is meant to have food. Is it not so? Don't, because you say you want to find God. As you are coming back from 1 7 days dry fasting, you are entering 22 days white fasting. When you came down, you thought you should join them in a general fast. Are you getting it now? Fasting is not. Jesus fasted for how many days? 40 days. Do you know we wouldn't have known if not that the Holy Spirit told the people that wrote it down about it. He didn't boast about it. But there's almost nobody who you see fast for such a long period of time that doesn't boast. I'm telling you the truth. There's almost. You know, or if they're not boasting, they want to announce. Yeah. And it's not supposed to be so. It's supposed to be something between you and God. But what happens now if, let's say, we're a congregation? Then once we've announced it in our congregation, we should keep quiet so that we don't look like either Muslims or Catholics. Nah, is it Lent? Is it? You don't need to look like that. The other day I was passing by someone and I saw 90 days fasting. It was a flyer. I mean, what do you call it? Banner. And I said, good luck to you. I will not join you for 90 days to fast. What am I trying to prove? You know? So there's nothing wrong with fasting. We should fast as often as possible, as long as we do not endanger our health. So it's free. You can say, okay, I won't take 3 days. As long as you are eating properly the way you should eat. Okay? And it's not endangering your health, it's not a problem. You can say, no, man, I want to do 2 days, man, I want to do 4 days. And as long as you are not boasting about it, or you are not announcing it so that we can know her. But you know that when I say it's my idea of waiting on the Lord, you look on what? It's your day. That doesn't mean it's my own day. He that waited upon the Lord. He that does not wait also. Upon the Lord, he does not wait. Okay? So don't harass me. Yes.
Two questions. The first one is about David.
Yeah.
Does he make mistake or he commit sin?
Does he make mistake?
Is it mistake he made or is a sin?
Which one?
As in for a meeting with Uriah's wife.
Is sleeping with somebody a mistake?
No, that's the question, sir.
No, I'm asking you to.
What's the difference between mistake as a Christian?
Oh, okay. And sin? Okay. That's what you're asking is, what's the difference between stumbling into sin and living in sin? That's what you're asking. Abby? That's the proper word. But if you say mistake, see, I didn't even understand you. Which one is mistake?
That's the first one, sir.
Okay. What's the second one?
Yeah, the second is I have come to know that we asking ourselves that we wish to live this connected life, and you see, with time, you just discover that you might have practiced maybe 2-3 weeks or a month. Won't it just come like that? And you just accept that maybe I've been having consistent Bible life, that I've been studying. And you have been praying. In fact, there's a time that you have a portion to it that you don't miss it. Maybe because of the type of work you do. I don't know. Want to just come again, just go that after 2 weeks. I don't know, can do it again.
But go no yet, Lolly. Okay. Praise the Lord. First of all, what's the difference between stumbling into sin and falling into sin? Stumbling into sin could be due to entering into a trap set by the devil because the Christian is not careful. Huh? Do you understand? You call it mistake. Okay, but I don't want to call it mistake, even though it's the same thing that you mean. Are you getting it now? Now, if it's a stumble, the moment the Christian falls into it, he struggles to come out. Even if struggling to come out will kill him. Are you getting it now? But if he's a sinner, to ba je ko stumble ni, awa yi ranu e dada. Because he's a sinner. Are you getting it now? That's the difference. Or in simpler words, let me use this illustration. It was raining and mudslide. Do you know the meaning of mudslide? Like mud now, mud. So much thick mud. Water drove it into the pen of some sheep. You understand? So the pen became like sinking mud. You understand? Now, several of those sheep tried to come out. Some died in the process of trying to come out. But they were not comfortable staying in that mud. If it is Mr. Pig, what do you think? You know they have just refurbished the house. That's the difference. Okay? If you are a sheep, when you fall into sin, you will struggle to come. Look at David. The moment he fell into sin, what did he do? Instantly. Because he wasn't given time that... Arrest him first. Why must he say this thing here when people are there? No, he didn't do that. He didn't care who was there. He had missed it. What was most important for him was his relationship with God. Not what people think about him. Are you getting it? Mr. Saul, look at what happened to him. He was concerned about who is there, and who is not there. And still respect me for the people. Don't let them know. Don't let them. What is that one? So one is a sinner. The other is a saint. Have you gotten it now? When we stumble into sin, don't cover it. Don't do what? Struggle, even if it takes your life to come out. If the Holy Spirit meets you at that level, or wrapped you up at that level, you are flying straight to heaven. Because he knows you don't love sin, since it's not in your nature. You understand? We're in the world. The Bible says in 2 John, 1 John chapter 2, from verse 1, it says, "My little children, I'm writing this to you so that you do not sin. But if you fall into sin, you have an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous." Are you getting it now? Okay, so there are times when you don't want to do something, but mistakenly it happens. Die trying to come out than dying trying to cover it. Because that one, I promise you, you will die. For he who covers his sins will not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. Okay, so whatever help you need to get out, that's what you should do. Okay? Make sure you talk to people that can help you come out. Huh? That's what you do it instantly. Okay? People that can stand by you, pray with you, pray for you. That's how to sort it out. The second question was what? But I've answered the question. You didn't hear when I was answering. It's the same question that you asked. It's not one thing that will happen. Let me explain to you. You want the long version. That's the issue. So I will attempt to explain it. And I'll attempt to explain it not very long. Okay? Benga, the problem with you, because let me answer your question, not general question, is that you have time that you have structured for Bible study, for prayer, for spiritual things, so that you can be able to do other things, right or wrong. Speak up now. Now, there are times when some things will come. Project coming. Because I read the Bible study in Lolo. They calculate away. I do Pelo Lua. Bible study will come. Worry money. Right or wrong? Sorrow. Because I know I'm seeking by the Holy Spirit. So, by the time you jump out, by the time you want to come back in, because you caught something and you keep doing that thing. You I'm talking to. Is that is yes or no? Is that I'm right or I'm wrong? So I don't know whether I should even answer you publicly, because it's actually a very personal question. You know, God is very angry with that thing because you don't put him first. Do you understand? But let me attempt to answer it generally as I answer you directly. You need to pray that God will give you understanding to know that he should be first in your life and that he's the most important person in your life. Because if you don't have that understanding and I tell you what to do, something else will still come up. Are you getting it? So when you know that, Bible says sanctify the Lord in your heart, you must separate him. He can't be part of your program. It's after him that you have a program. It's what? Do you understand? But currently, it's part of your program. Okay, we are supposed to do Bible study by so time. You understand? And it's not supposed to be like that. He's supposed to be preeminent. He's supposed to be first in your life. Then learn to do everything with him, even this work. You understand? Learn to be meditating while you are working. Learn to listen to holy songs or pray while you are in the bus or doing whatever it is that you are doing. So that by the time you come back to the Bible, that disconnection will not be there. What do you say? Because why it's difficult coming back is because there's always a disconnection. Okay? Particularly because you just keep it, or maybe you're in the middle of it, you just stop. Since you need to attend to this thing now, because somehow you can no longer concentrate once that thing starts. Eh? Speak now. No. That's the mistake. You see, if you are going to walk with God. Just here. Walk with God. Let's say you are what now? What do you do? You're a civil engineer. Eh? Do you know civil engineer? That these people that build roads, constructions now. Eh? Generally constructions. Abi? Who gave David the plan of the temple? Huh? Who gave Noah the plan for the ark? You think he doesn't know about construction? That's all you need to be to really concentrate, you know, and let God wait so that when you are done with this thing, yes, Lord. No, then it's not Lord. If it's not Lord of all, try and design with him. That's what I do, that's how I live. And that's what I'm telling you, it's sweet. Somebody gave me a job. They wanted me to write a story. Now, I don't know what story they would like. So I said, Lord, there's no storyteller like you. You know the people I'm supposed to work for. Lord, what will please them? Please give me. Oh, by the time I submitted, it's amazing. They're speaking BB grammar. I said, Baba. About me. Do you understand? I said, okay, let us see the second story. I said, Baba, I've come back again. They like the first one. And as I was praying, he said, okay, let me give you this idea. Because it's, look at the Bible. Is that not the best story ever told? Gave me the second one. I sent it like this. And they said, Abraham, this is great. Will you like this? All the other ones that remain. Baba, I'm telling you before your people, I'm still coming home. You understand? Walk with him and your life will be easy. There's somebody I was working for, he said, God, please show me what this person has in his mind. Are you getting it? He wants me to do something for him. Show me what he has in mind so that I'll do what he has in mind. My brother, that's exactly what God did. By the time I submitted, they're like, this is excellent. Wow, amazing. Just big grammar. And sometimes I'm tired, I'm like, God, honestly, I can't. If I don't do this work, and they say I should do it again, I will just faint because I'm tired. But please, help me that they will like it. And what will happen? My brother, they will like it. Now, when you involve him like that into every area of your life, it's easy to work with him on other things. You understand? Than just, this somehow is boring, actually, to tie God to a desk and chair. Saying it's boring. That is the deal. Time low. But when you do everything with him, even as you are constructing there, what may happen? He may start talking to you. I was close to sleeping when I got this morning's message. And actually, he was explaining it when I was on the road in the night to go and buy something before I come back to sleep. So I knew sleep must wait for a while because he was really speaking. Do you understand? If you always involve him, there can't be 2 weeks hot and several months cold. No. But Baba is not cold. Baba is not what? No, Baba is always hot. Do you understand? For our God is a consuming fire. Baba is always hot. So instead of coming back again and trying to be in tune, do it with him. No matter what you do. But Sammy, I'm a hairdresser. Abi? Who said they should not cut Samson's hair? Eh? He's God. I'm a fashion designer who made the first clothes. God, whatever your profession is, you will see that God did it before you ever thought of doing it. No, me, I'm actually a musician. before, when he was making the world, there was a choir of angels. When he was making the world, Job, he was saying that to Job. He said, when the morning stars were singing, when he was laying the foundation of the earth. What profession is it? This is always the problem. Man thinking he can be independent of God. You'll be like fish out of water. My brother, you will keep gasping for breath. Do you understand? That's the answer to your question. Okay? Hallelujah.
How do we balance the study of the Bible and devotionals? There are times whether you want to study the Bible and you don't know where to start, just feel that. Let me just speak devotionals to just okay. read. And sometimes it might just keep occurring.
No, it will keep occurring.
Like that. So I don't know.
It will keep occurring. Devotionals are actually made before now. They were actually made for young Christians who don't know how to study or where to start from. At the time, I used them too. Huh? But when your walk with God becomes personal, it will speak beyond your devotional. So you may not even have time to look at devotional. Okay? So originally, devotionals are made to help people at least organize their study in the morning. So you see, they even give scriptures to meditate on during the day, which people don't do. You know? So once they've read that thing in the morning, it's a superficial. At the I studied my, you know, where I read in my devotion. That's what people used to say. And that's all. Okay? So, there's nothing wrong with devotionals. Okay? It's just that you can't keep taking Cerilac. You've taken it 1, 2, 3 years. Now you are going to 7. You are still asking for Cerilac. You are 12 and a half Cerilac. You see, it's a problem. Some people, their so-called Bible study life is hung on devotionals. I'm telling you. And it's terrible. It's a clear evidence that somebody has not grown. It's a very clear evidence. Then, most ministries still do devotionals. Of course, it's a way of making money. Okay, and it's also a way of, if people are not spiritual and they don't know where to go in the Bible, let's give them something. Okay? But I will tell you the truth. As good as devotionals are, you need to outgrow them. For there are things God wants to tell you over your own life. There are questions you have that won't be in your devotional. Sure, you know, Abi, am I? Is it not so? That you are confused, and even if you go to devotionals 20 times, it won't be there. Yet, the answer to your question is in the Bible. But because you don't know how to access the Word of God, it becomes difficult to be able to access it. Now, Bible study is clearly a study. I asked this same question last meeting held here on Saturday, one meeting that we held here on Saturday. I said, when you want to study, when you are in school, you read normally. For revision, you read. For exam, what do you do? And you are telling me you don't understand what it means to study Bible. Do you understand? Every day is an exam. So you study as if your life depends on it. And when you are studying your books, except I don't know about your generation, in our own time we used to study. Because if you don't study, nobody will give you a expo, you will fail. You understand? Except that if you are waiting for a expo in the Bible, you know you're already in trouble. Because the thing is not only unrighteous in the world. Now to expect a expo from Bible again is it, you know, it's so you study. And you study to show yourself approved unto God. What does that mean? Studying simply means questioning and asking questions. For instance, let's say I'm reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why would the Bible say God so loved him? What is in the world that God so loved it? God will start speaking to you. But many of us don't ask questions. In fact, we read the Bible because we don't even study. We read the Bible out of obligation. Come on, pay me your kalenio. So of course, if you read like that, your spirit will not grow. Because you have not eaten. You have not done what? You have not eaten. If you keep tasting food, any small, just a sip. Shomayoni. Is it not when you eat? You understand? So when we say study, you ask questions. things you don't understand, things that you want to know, you probe into it. Okay? Now, when you want to do exam, what kind of materials must you have for that subject? What must you have for the subject? Oh, yeah. Eh? Textbook? Yes. Notebook? Yes. Huh? Is there a pen or biro? Past question. What else? That's all, Abby. A note to jot what you are learning on. If you want to do Bible study, oh yeah, tell me again, repeat the same thing. What do you need? Use the same words. Textbook. Yes. Notebook. Uh-huh. Past question. Biro. Do you understand? Because we make it sound so religious and so... That's all you need. A textbook. What's your textbook? Your Bible. You say, but I don't understand my Bible. Then get study Bibles, other textbooks. Hmm? There are study Bibles that I can recommend. Spirit. Is it Life in the Spirit. Study Bible. Huh? Thompson Chain Reference Bible. Dick Annotated Reference Bible. What's the other one? Huh? That's a commentary. Okay, Matthew Henry commentary. Do you understand? Concordance. Some of us, where is that place? Oh, where is it written? Oh, concordance. Other Bible translations. Topical study Bibles. That instead of saying, Shem Matthew Lama Kaba and say, Abi Luke. Instead of saying that, you pick whatever that is that you want to learn or whatever that is wrong with you that you want answers on. So maybe your issue currently is fear. When you go into those topical Bibles, you see fear there. And you see what men who have gone ahead have done, searching through scriptures about all matters on fear. See why we have been failing spiritual exams? Because we don't study. Okay, so that's what we need. Textbook, notebook, Bible. Now, notebook. Do you notice that when you are studying for exam, you don't write inside your notebook, the subject notebook. Where do you write to? There's a separate consecrated notebook for exam. It's the same. Apart from your notebook here now, I'm not expecting that you should write in that same note. Points that you have written down. No. I expect that you have another notebook. They say fruitfulness is equal to usefulness. God, is it true? Then you may hear something in your heart that check out three people in the Bible that were not fruitful to see whether they were still useful. That's how to study the Bible. So and you are thinking, let me look at Esau. You go to look for where Esau is. You read the story of Esau. You won't finish because so Esau was like this. You understand? And what you are learning, you start writing in that your note. If you have really made a note, it will be precious to you. If you lose it, it will be more to pay you more than if you lose it. That's how to study. We ask questions. We probe into what we want to understand. There are some things I am currently studying. Now that has nothing to do with meeting or things I want to preach. It's me, my soul, my own soul. You understand? So that's how to study. Okay? Have you gotten it? And that's the difference between devotionals and Bible study. Okay. We have received your paper. Praise the Lord. Our time is far spent. Normally, we should have finished by 2. Okay. If we still have questions, I want you to write it out. When we come tomorrow and we finish with the sessions, we can take them together before the afternoon session and the questions and the question session in the afternoon. May God bless you in the name of Jesus. Please, I beg you, if you're somebody who is not really having it good Bible study wise, if the answers that have been given is not enough, please, in the course of this meeting, make sure that we see so that you can start practicing it before you go. Okay? Once you start, it's easy to continue. Okay? And as I wrap up, open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. verse 13 or 14. I want to answer the question of where must we start from? Is it Matthew? Is it Mark? Is it Luke? Just a minute. Yes? Who is there? 2 Timothy 3, verse 13 to 14. Let me hear it. You should see something like, but evil men will wax worse and worse.
But evil people and imposters will flourish.
Verse what is that?
13.
Okay, go ahead.
But evil people and imposters will flourish.
Yes.
They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived.
Now, the next verse. That's verse 14 now. Please, if you want to understand Bible study, this verse is very important. Yes?
But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught.
Yes.
You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you.
Okay. Is that King James there very quickly? Yes. No, just skip to verse 14. You must continue in the things that you have learned. That's how to study the Bible. Do you understand? Don't say, is it Matthew, is it Mark? No. Pick, if you have ever been taught the truth before, you must continue in it. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and have become what? Assured. Yes?
Of knowing from who you have learned.
Since you know the people who taught those things, that they are believable people, they are faithful people, they are responsible people. So, but you continue in the things that you have learned. Continue the things that you have learned, yes?
And be assured.
And has been assured of.
Whom you have learned them.
Knowing from whom you have learned them. Okay? So, if, let's say, you don't know where to start from. Start from this morning's message. Amen. The things you wrote down. You read. You think about what you're reading. You ask questions. And you write it down. Just the same way you do with exams. Okay? May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Have a nice afternoon. See you tomorrow.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-83058, 080-813-385-36, 080-7455-8177, 081-4099-1321.
Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?